Hello everyone, ladies and gents. Step back in time and join us on an enthralling adventure through the ages with What I Learned in History Class, the podcast that unearths captivating tales and invaluable perspectives from the past. Today we will discuss on episode 11, the week of Watergate, Nixon, and the 1970s. Discover the events, people, and ideas that have left an indelible mark on our world and continue to shape our future. Whether you're a history expert or simply curious about the world, this podcast will satisfy your thirst for knowledge. So, get comfortable, get some snacks and drinks, and prepare to be immersed in fascinating stories that will leave you spellbound. Let's embark on this journey through history together. I'm your host, Dan Sano, and with me is the incredible Sanjay Nair, your co-host. Let's get it to Mr. Nair, but before that...
Yo, Pierre, you want to come out here?
Hey everyone, my name is Sanjay, and today we'll be discussing Chapter 26 of Give Me Liberty in American History by Eric Foner. Dan and I will be covering over Watergate, Nixon, and the 1970s, including how the Watergate scandal brought about the downfall of Nixon's presidency and how it was a turning point in American politics, leading to reforms and changes in government practices and policies, and how social unrest and economic challenges affected the country as a whole. Something else we will also be covering would be the other major events of the 1970s, which are important to our American history. Then finally, we will conclude with a thorough review of the movie All the President's Men, produced by director Alan J. Pakula and written by William Goldman.
To start our episode, I will start out by sparking up a question about what really is Watergate Nixon and how does it contribute to the 1970s? To answer this, as said by the Constitutional Rights Foundation, the Watergate Nixon, better known as the Watergate scandal, was an offense that occurred on November 7, 1972 against President Richard Nixon. The scandal began with a bungled burglary, and it ended with criminal charges against Nixon's closest aides and demands for his impeachment. This crime exposed extensive misuse of power and corruption that existed within the Nixon administration at the time of the incident, and it still is recognized as one of the biggest political scandals in American history because of its effect being seen in today's ages.
That's cool and all, but how did the events leading up to the election of 1972 create tension to Nixon's campaign?
Well then, let's dive deeper into the events leading up to the scandal. Having defeated incumbent Vice President Hubert Humphrey in the election 4 years earlier, Richard Nixon had been in office since 1969. He even became the Republican candidate for president in the 1972 election, campaigning against Democratic candidate George McGovern. The 1972 election occurred in the midst of a period of significant social and political upheaval in the United States, which was characterized by the persistence of resistance to the Vietnam War, rising hostilities between the government and civil rights activists, and escalating economic worries. Nixon's campaign stressed his presidency's successes, such as starting the Occupational Safety and Health Administration and the Environmental Protection Agency, as well as his attempts to put a stop to the Vietnam War.
Despite the fact that Nixon's campaign made a point of emphasizing the work he had done to bring an end to the Vietnam War, Daniel Ellsberg, a Defense Department official, published a confidential report on the conflict in 1971, the year before the election. The name Pentagon Papers was given to the 7,000-page report. They questioned the reason for the start of the conflict and exposed severe reservations about the conflict held high by government figures. The White House did, however, establish a division to guarantee internal security following the publication of the Pentagon Papers. Because they fixed leaks, this group was dubbed the Plumbers. They broke into Daniel Ellsberg's psychiatrist's office in 1971 in search of the information that might damage him. It was later revealed that Nixon's domestic advisor, John Ehrlichman, knew of and approved the plan.
The writings of Washington Post investigate reporters Carl Bernstein and Bob Woodward contributed to the public being aware of and paying attention to Watergate. Even under intense political pressure, the story remained in the public eye until Nixon resigned thanks to the efforts of Post editor Ben Bradley, publisher Catherine Graham, Woodward, and Bernstein, as well as a mysterious source known only as Deep Throat.
Wow, that's very crazy, Dan. But what I want to know now is, why was this scandal such a big deal? Why did Watergate even happen?
Well, Nixon's government was involved in a significant plot to discredit political rivals and sabotage the democratic process. The DNC, or the Democratic National Committee, offices were broken into on June 17, 1972, which led to the uncovering of the Watergate affair, which involved political corruption. It was later discovered that the break-in was a part of a bigger plot to weaken political rivals and disrupt the democratic process. The five men who were detained at the site had ties to President Richard Nixon's re-election campaign. Its primary purpose was to wiretap and break into homes in order to support Nixon's 1972 re-election campaign.
The Nixon's campaign starting five were linked to President Nixon's bid for re-election, as shown by a $25,000 Republican contributor check that was laundered via a Mexican bank and placed in the account of Watergate thief Bernard Barker. The committee to re-elect the president, CRP, often known as Nixon's creep campaign, hired the burglars, according to inquiry into the break-in that followed. John Mitchell, a former attorney general and the leader of Nixon's committee to re-elect the president, was in charge of a covert fund for political espionage. Mitchell would ultimately serve time in prison for his involvement in the incident.
Nixon had originally publicly said that he was unaware of the Watergate break-in, but the men were apprehended by a security officer who saw that the entrance to the DNC offices had been taped open. The burglars were apprehended after calling the police. The five men were discovered to be carrying cameras, electronic equipment, and bugging devices. They also had a large amount of cash on them, which prompted questions about their intentions. Later, their names were revealed to be James McCord, Bernard Barker, Virgilio Gonzalez, Eugenio Martinez, and Frank Sturgis.
Can't do that.
Despite that, Nixon still won the election by the widest margin ever recorded. Despite the mounting stain of Watergate, which had not yet reached the president, a wide range of criminal actions, including eavesdropping, sabotage, and money laundering, were also discovered by the inquiry to have been committed by the CRP. The Washington Post reporters Bob Woodward and Carl Bernstein were instrumental in revealing the specifics of the Watergate crisis. Through their reporting, Nixon and his administration's cover-up was made more obvious. The Nixon administration's Attorney General John Mitchell, White House Chief of Staff H.R. Haldeman, and White House Counsel John Dean were among the high-ranking officials who were implicated in the cover-up.
The Nixon administration strongly refuted any involvement in the heist or any other unlawful activity in the months that followed the break-in. The inquiry, nevertheless, kept turning up more and more proof of the cover-up. Throughout 1973, congressional committees and special prosecutors looked into the cover-up and other criminal activity connected to the robbery. This was all part of the ongoing Watergate crisis. The White House counsel, John Dean, appeared before the Senate Watergate Committee in April 1973 and was a major player in the cover-up. The cover-up was extensively credited by Dean, who also named numerous high-ranking Nixon administration officials as being involved.
Nixon's Attorney General, Richard Kleinstein, resigned in May 1973 after acknowledging that he had lied about a political espionage case to the Senate Judiciary Committee. Nixon had constructed a covert taping system in the Oval Office and other sections of the White House, according to the testimony given by White House advisor Alexander Butterfield to the Senate Watergate Committee in July 1973. As Congress and the government's investigative arm sought access to the tapes, their presence sparked a legal and political avalanche. Nixon at first opposed providing access to the tapes, citing executive privilege.
Spiro Agnew, the vice president, was forced to resign in August 1973 after being charged with extortion, bribery, and tax fraud in connection with his tenure as governor of Maryland. Nixon gave the order to fire Special Prosecutor Archibald Cox in October 1973 when he was in charge of the Watergate crisis investigation. Nixon's impeachment was demanded as a result of this incident, often known as that Saturday Night Massacre, which caused global indignation. Nixon was also officially accused of obstructing justice, abusing his position of power, and disobeying Congress when formal impeachment hearings against him were launched by the House Judiciary Committee in November 1973. For their participation in the Watergate cover-up, a number of senior Nixon administration officials were charged, found guilty, and given jail sentences between 1973 and 1974.
These representatives included John Dean, White House Counsel, Attorney General, and H.R. Haldeman, Chief of Staff of the White House. At long last, on August 9, 1974, the Watergate crisis forced Nixon to resign. He was the first and last president of the United States to step down from office. The disclosure of top secret tapes that exposed Nixon's role in the cover-up and his attempts to thwart justice led to his resignation. It could also be said that the Washington Post writers who discovered the break-in were also responsible for Nixon's demise because of the research. It was shown that the Nixon administration engaged in several immoral activities, including eavesdropping, making illegal campaign contributions, and obstructing the court system, which were all made public by the scandal, thus resulting in Nixon's recording showing his involvement in the Watergate cover-up. After that was made public during an impeachment hearing in 1974, Richard Nixon became the first president to subsequently announce his resignation. The hearings finally ushered in a new age of governmental transparency and were broadcast to millions of Americans.
It is what it is.
It is what it is.
And we will be back after a short advertisement by our great sponsor.
Welcome back, everyone. We hope that you enjoyed the little intermission from our wonderful sponsors. As a pay of respect, we will now review the historical film, All the President's Men.
All the President's Men, which was released in 1976, is a docudrama or realistic fiction movie that is based on true events, being about the Richard Nixon Watergate scandal. This political thriller, directed by Alan J. Pakula, focuses on the investigation of the Watergate scandal, as said before, by two Washington Post journalists, Bernstein and Woodward, who try their best to expose the corruption, which later on leads to the resignation of President Richard Nixon.
A president resigning? That's something that the ordinary person would never hear.
Yeah, matter of fact, Nixon was the only president in American history to resign. Regardless of the history, how does the movie begin, Dan?
Well, the movie begins like this. It starts with an arrest of these five burglars at the Democratic National Committee headquarters in the Watergate complex at Washington, D.C. With this arrest, in 1972, two people, Bernstein, or Dustin Hoffman, and Woodward, or Robert Redford, worked together to uncover the series of illegal activities which were committed by the Nixon administration.
So what happened next? What did they find?
Before they could even start the bus, they needed to build up connections, and that was when they lent themselves to an attorney by the name of Donald Segretti, a person involved in a dirty campaign against the Democrats. They also got a link with the burglars and found out that the money used to finance the operation all came from a slush fund, which is controlled by the White House. I think by now, you know the rest now, as this is all based on true history, Sanjay. Why don't you lead forward?
Of course. Well, then doing something against the U.S. government, you are bound to face challenges. And for the duo, Bernstein and Woodward face the challenge of protecting their sources while ensuring the reporting is accurate.
Okay. Well then, how does the movie end off?
I'm glad you asked. Well, in the end, all their hard work and perseverance led to them to finally publish a series of articles against Nixon. Due to the publishing of the articles, it ultimately led to the resignation of President Richard Nixon in 1974, with the movie ending off with the sound of Woodward using typewriter keys, of which would become the one of many articles to comment that would expose the Watergate scandal.
Oh my, how brave these young folks must be. I personally don't think I could ever hide something like this, even if it's for a good cause.
Well, yeah, that is why the movie All the President's Men is a docudrama retelling of real-life events that occurred during the Watergate scandal. It blends elements of documentary-style storytelling with fictionalized dialogue and scenes to create a compelling narrative that captures the essence of the events and characters involved. This led to the resignation of President Richard Nixon in 1974.
Whether you like history or not, All the President's Men is a film which I regret not knowing about before, and I promise from the bottom of my heart that this movie is worth its time and attention, as it is something you won't ever forget anytime soon. Now it is time to reflect on our podcast and answer a few questions coming from Mr. Sanders about the information we spoke about.
Nixon easily won his 1972 re-election campaign. Why do you think he allowed the Watergate break-in to take place?
Possibly due to the fact that Nixon's re-election campaign was marked by a fierce desire to win, and his administration was known for its aggressive tactics. Some historians have suggested that Nixon and his aides saw the break-in at the Democratic National Committee headquarters as a way to gain an advantage over the political opponents. It is also possible that Nixon believed he was above the law and could get away with illegal activities. Whatever the reason, the Watergate scandal ultimately proved to be Nixon's undoing and led to his resignation from the presidency. Well, with this information comes our next question. With everything you've learned about Watergate, do you think it was much more scandalous than any other political controversy in American presidential history, or could some of the events in recent years compare?
Well, I believe personally that the Watergate scandal of the 1970s was certainly one of the most significant political controversies in American presidential history. The illegal activities involved, including the break-in at the Democratic National Committee headquarters and Nixon's attempts to cover up the evidence, ultimately led to the resignation of the president and the conviction of several of his aides. However, there have been other political scandals in American history that have been equally, if not more, scandalous. For example, recent events such as the 2016 election interference by Russia, the 2021 Capitol riot, and the allegations of corruption against former President Trump have generated a significant scandal and controversy. While each of these events is unique, they all highlight the ongoing challenges and issues facing American democracy.
And with that, What I Learned in History Class Episode 11 has to come to an end. We hope you've gained a better understanding of the Watergate incident, Nixon, and the 1970s. Next week, join us as we continue to examine the histories and events that formed a road with two new hosts. I'm your host, Nancy Noh, and with my buddy slash co-host, Sonny here, we are signing out. Thank you for coming by and giving time to our listening. Peace.